Hey guys, Butters from South Park here. Just want to make sure you have your parents' permission to be listening to this. You know, sometimes we talk about some pretty racy things, like boobies. Well, I guess I'd better get going now. Enjoy the show.
Please state your name.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Please state your purpose.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. Read reviews, choose your own commission plan, and learn more about Mark at markcharter.com.
Now, hear this.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Mark Charter.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Adam Gray.
And Adam Gray.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Fawcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Pardon my voice. It's about shot for the week, and that's why I'm just going to let Mark Charter talk for the next hour. How are you, Mark?
Boom.
Just all, go ahead and talk. Go on your monologue.
All the Fockers just got excited about the fact that I get to talk a lot.
Adam Gray's in the house.
How's it going, fellas?
How's it going for you?
You know what? It's going really, really well. I'm excited. I have a lot of emotions going on right now. So
crazy week for you.
It is a crazy week. Chris, you're usually the one that does the plugging of the, you know, the our sponsors, because you do such a great job. But I feel like today is time for me to. So
take it.
Not only did Mark Charter sell Rob Gray's house in what, a day?
Roughly a day.
He is such a good agent that he listens to what I or any of his friends or customers are saying. And I just put out a feeler. I said, you know, I got baby number three coming on the way. We've outgrown our house a little bit. I'm not sure if the timing is right, but I'm kind of interested in maybe selling the house. So if you, you know, have time to come take a look at the house, let me know. Well, he did one better. He had a customer who was looking in the Johnston area, in my area. He calls me up on Friday, says, hey, Adam, they're interested in your house. I didn't even have to really get my house show ready. I mean, I cleaned it. House sold last night, Chris.
So it's done.
It's done. I'm moving, man.
Where are you moving to?
Well, first, we're going to be moving into probably an apartment until we build Johnston or Grimes area. And yeah, so that's going to be fun. You know, we're going to be bringing a newborn baby back to an apartment, so it's going to be a little bit testy for a while.
I feel bad for your neighbors.
The ones that we leave?
No, the ones who will be next to you in the apartment.
With the brood?
With the newborn baby?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
If it's anything like my baby's been, that just screams like 20 hours out of the day.
Yeah, that would be rough. I didn't even think about that.
your child had it a little rougher, though, than most. Yeah. That probably was part of it.
Part
of the deal. Yeah.
But no, I mean, but
congrats.
It was really smooth. I mean, one of the big things that was holding us up was just the, you know, getting a house ready and selling it just kind of sounds awful. Let's be honest with you. It sounds like a lot of work, and Mark made it as easy as possible. I don't know. I can't envision it ever going as easy and smooth as it did. So thank you very much.
You guys know me well enough to know that I never brag about myself.
No.
Right?
You're one of the most humble human beings
as I say this on National Honesty Day, which we're going to talk about. Actually National Honesty Day today.
Seriously, that's a day?
It's the day. And today is that day.
Interesting.
So we're going to have a little honest conversation here in a little bit. But I do want to make a larger point, because a good agent, whether that's myself or another good agent, puts their clients first. And the analogy here is my clients had a second choice that they could have gone with for a house, but Gray's house was their favorite. So to make the numbers work for everybody, I was trying to be fair to Gray, who's my friend. And by the way, as a side note, the buyer for this house asked me, because he looked it up on the assessor side, he said, is that the Adam Gray from Fanatic? I said, yeah.
Of course he did.
So he's a Fanatic fan, and that's how he found me originally to sell his house, which I did in about 2 days or a day. Actually, 1 day, 3 offers on his house. And so anyway, I'm saying this live to Gray. I haven't even told him this, but they want to come back with their daughter to show him the house.
Yeah.
And are fine with you being there.
Okay.
And because he actually wants to meet you.
Can we have a beer?
Absolutely. He's a cool guy. So Zach, if you're listening, we're going to set this up for you. But they had a second option. And if I had not put both of my clients first in this case, the Grays and Zach and his fiance Sonia, then I would have said, you know what? I don't want to put that deal together. It's going to be a pain in my butt. It's going to make me less money, which is true. And gone over to the other house, said, buy this one, make more commission, and be done with less hassle. But good agents don't do that. They just don't. They put their clients first, and they say, you know what? This home is the better fit, so I'm going to make it work over here, even if I make less money. And I'm okay doing that, because if I make less money on 100 deals versus more on 25 or whatever, then at the end of the day, I end up ahead. So here's the point. Whoever you're working with, you know, I know we have listeners that don't live in Central Iowa. They live wherever. Look into your agent and figure out if they give a crap about you. And if they don't, find somebody that does, because those agents are out there.
And I can echo what Mark just said. I mean, he's not just saying this. He did. I mean, he went above and beyond. And he definitely was looking out for both me and I guess the guy's name is Zach.
Zach Attack. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Good job out of you.
I'm happy a clone is moving into your clone lair.
Yeah.
So
maybe I'll leave that. You see the poster that I got on the wall down in the basement?
That's awesome.
Yeah. I got that from Campustown, from Clinic Campustown. Maybe I'll leave that there for Zach, because I don't know if I take it off, I probably won't be able to put it back on.
Was that a Monte? Who was that of?
It's no player. It kind of looks like Sean Dorsey Walker a little bit.
No, it doesn't?
Yeah. I think it looks like DeAndre Kane.
Do you?
If it's the one I'm thinking of. Is it the same thing you have hanging up in your office here?
Yeah, I think it's on a much bigger scale in my basement, but yeah.
I just thought it looked like DeAndre Kane. Whatever.
Yeah, it's terrible. Terrible by you.
Hey, before we get into the off-topic stuff that we have prepared for today, I figure we should touch on a couple Iowa State topics. Number one, Naz Long has to have a second hip surgery. I actually just, right before you guys got here, posted a blog up on Cyclone Fanatic. Basically, we talked about this, Ross and I did on KXNO yesterday. I know that Naz is going to work his butt off to get back. It sounds like Hallis Cook is doing the same thing, but I don't like relying on guys. If you want to be a top five team, your two off guards coming off of hip surgery.
Yeah.
It's not like a shoulder. Hips are weird, man. Like, that's a really delicate part of your body, especially Hallis Cook, where they're like, it's an experimental surgery, basically. Naz has two of them coming off of in the offseason. It's Matt Thomas's time, boys. They need that young man to step up be the man. First time in his career, he's always kind of been a luxury. Like, whatever you get out of Matt's kind of a bonus. I think this is the first time in his career they really need him this season.
Who do you think of a career ruined when you think of a hip injury? One person comes
Bo
to
Jackson?
Mind. Bo Jackson. Yeah.
And I was going to say Luke Knott.
And that was a devastating hip injury Bo Jackson had, but still.
Yeah. And a different technology. Medical technology back in the day. Listen, I mean, I don't think Matt Thomas needs to step up, and he doesn't need to score 15 points a game, obviously, with what they have coming back elsewhere. But I do think that they need him to. I mean, his numbers went down last year.
Yeah.
Went from 5.5 to 4.9 points. His 3-point percentage dropped off by like 4%. His minutes dropped off by 6 per game. I think with Otzelberger coming back, I think he was looking more and more comfortable towards the end of last year. This is a big offseason for him.
It's huge. And there's no question he's got the talent, and he's shown it. And TJ said it, I think, when he's on a podcast with you, that Matt's got more game than he has shown. He's got more ability to put it on the floor,
absolutely,
get to the lane. His big thing, we've said it from day one, it's always been confidence with Matt. When he hits his first shot, confidence is high. He plays a good game. When he misses his first shot, I don't know if he hangs his head, but his jump shot, it gets a little bit more. He holds it a little bit longer. TJ come back, a guy he's known since, what, eighth grade?
Yeah, I think that's huge.
I think it's huge.
It's his mentor, man.
It is, yeah. And so hopefully he steps up. I think he needs to score 10 points a game.
Yeah.
Just if he's going to be a starter. Because I think he needs to hit 2 to 3 threes a game.
They need somebody to be able to spread out a defense.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if he could have been that guy even like last year, it would have made a huge difference. So I think they got to have it. I think they have to have it. And again, I'm not writing off Naz Long and Hallis Cook. I just don't want to have to rely on either one of those guys. If you have all three of them playing at 100%, great. I just don't think that's going to happen. Chances are one of the guys with a hip problem is going to be bothered by that at some point next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you heard much on Hallis as far as how his rehab is coming?
Did you read Rob's piece on him? Rob wrote like a 1,500-word article on him.
When was this?
Like a week ago.
I need to go back and read it. I've been really busy, Chris.
It's a really good piece.
Okay.
I would really – inside of the Matt Thomas blog that I just posted, I actually linked Rob's article on Halas Cook. It's a really good piece. It's okay. One of Rob's best pieces of work that he's done.
He always writes good stuff.
I love it when Rob can take like 2 weeks and just work on a feature. And that's
what it better be good with that much prep time. Yeah, going into it.
You would hope.
I spent 2 weeks on this. Well, it sucks. Do it again.
Start over.
Yep.
You're fired.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on Matt Thomas, Mark, or you want to move on?
I just want to see him become a beautiful butterfly, man. He's
the butterfly.
He's still emerging from that cocoon a little bit. So it's time to shine. This is the year to do it. You know, he's a young player excuse, not valid anymore.
Did you guys listen to the Mitch Moore podcast?
I got about halfway through. I was loving it. Mitch Moore, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he is. Did you listen to it at all, Mark?
No.
You should. It's a podcast posted yesterday.
I don't have any time for anything other than this.
Do you drive?
This time of
year. Do you drive around?
Usually on my phone when I'm driving.
When you're not listening to KXNO?
I listen to KXNO.
Download our latest podcast with Mitch Moore. It's really good.
What's it about?
He's on the football coaching staff.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys in charge of recruiting.
Yeah.
And he is a charismatic some bitch. Like, he is a guy who you would love him. Mm-hmm. If he was sitting in the – he reminds me a lot of you.
Ooh.
Like a bubbly personality, really good guy.
He's a lot nicer.
What I'm trying to do too, Adam –
did he just describe me as bubbly?
He did.
Yeah, you're bubbly. You're bubbly, man.
At times.
I just want to get different people from this athletic department on the podcast who I think are interesting.
Yeah.
Fans should know more about. And he was the first guy who came to my mind.
He gave me a little extra shot of Kool-Aid listening to him yesterday. When he uses the word freak for DeMond Tucker, I can't help but get a little bit excited.
Yeah, I am. I think DeMond Tucker is a freak too, but my problem is every time Iowa State has any guy like that, they have to play him so many damn downs and then they wear down. So that's my worry with DeMond Tucker.
But then the way he talked about the secondary got me excited. I disagreed with him on a couple things. I don't see the Sam Richardson as a top three quarterback in the Big 12. I hope I'm wrong. Nope. I really hope I'm wrong, but there's nothing that suggests he's a top eight quarterback in the Big 12 at this time, let alone a top three.
You're not wrong, Gray.
Thank you.
Top eight? I mean, you're going to just put a bunch of newcomers who've never played before over him?
Dude, Oklahoma State played like their third string guy against us last year, and he was 10 times better than Sam that game. So I'm not. It's not killing Sam. It's not all Sam's
fault.
That's
exactly what you just did.
No. Okay. So, but let's just be honest here. At some point, there's two things. It's not his fault, but your record is what your record is. Yeah. And if you want to be a top three quarterback, you got to win games in the conference. You can't be a top three quarterback and go.
I don't think he was nobody thought he was a top three quarterback last year.
Okay, but he hasn't won a Big 12 game ever in his history. You're saying coming back is
the problem
top three
with rankings. The problem with rankings, though, is you can say whether he's the third best, eighth best, or tenth best. That isn't a knock on him. So if I said he's the worst quarterback in the Big 12, people would be like, that's a huge knock. You're saying he sucks. I'm not saying that at all, but maybe the other nine quarterbacks are just better.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. So I don't look at it as like he's the eighth best as he is bad. I don't equate that at all. It's a talented league.
I just
league.
Think that for you to complete, and I agree with you, at some point you just have to win. I don't deny that at all. We've talked about that a lot on this show before. But like, I mean, at some point, too, you can't blame – you have to factor in how bad the defense was.
No, I agree.
You have to factor in the immense amount of injuries on the offensive line.
The fact we couldn't run the football.
There's no running game. Yeah. Like, you can't just throw that all on the quarterback. It's a very uneducated thing to do.
And I'm not even taking this –
but I see it all the time.
Yeah, I'm not even taking this as a knock on Iowa State. This is actually more of a – you look at what other coaches do. It doesn't matter who Gundy puts at quarterback. That quarterback's going to be a top-tier quarterback.
Well, and they have better players all around it.
Okay.
It's not a
– even Texas Tech, Kingsbury, not a great coach, but his quarterback that plays for him will probably be better than any quarterback we have. It is what it is. I mean, there are certain teams and certain coaches, they can
put
a third, fourth string quarterback, and they're probably still going to be better than Iowa State's first string
quarterback. Two guard who plays for Fred Hoiberg is going to put up better numbers than a two guard who plays for Ben Jacobson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. So I'm not. It sounds really like I'm being harsh on Sam, and I am a little bit.
Yeah, you are.
A little bit, but it's not.
No, you are. It's okay. Like, you don't have to deny it.
But I'm not trying to be as harsh as it's coming off. Like, I know it's not all him. It's not all him, and I'm not.
They've been bad the last 2 years. The team has been bad.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like all the honesty on National Honesty Day.
Yeah.
This is refreshing.
I'm trying to
hear. So this is not a game, but and we don't need to do three because I'm struggling to come up with one over here. But I was thinking in honor of National Honesty Day.
Yeah.
That each of us reveals something that's honest about ourselves that we that most people don't know.
That we can get made fun of then by the Fockers. Sure.
It doesn't have to be something embarrassing or naughty, but just something that lets the Fockers into the old skull cap a little bit. What's going on inside, and we go from there. So
who's going first?
I'll go first.
All right,
Chris is ready, man.
No, I dance for my daughter.
You dance for your daughter.
So I put her in the rock and play. See, we have a deal. Like God, I love her so much. She's not happy very often.
Yeah.
Like, she's just not.
Until you dance.
She cries a lot. Like, she... Mm-hmm. The foot thing. Like, it's just been a...
It has nothing to do with her physical attributes, dude. It's that she lives in Bundaran.
It's been a long three months. I'll put it that way. So I discovered something. I believe it was, like, a week and a half ago. She was sitting in her rock and play, and we were getting ready to go somewhere. Probably just for a drive, because that's the only thing that shuts her up sometimes. And the Taylor Swift song, that Shake It Off song.
Mm-hmm. Owen loves that song.
Yeah.
Loves
so that
it.
Song, it came on Pandora or something that was in our kitchen.
It came on your playlist.
It was on Pandora because we had the iHome in our kitchen.
Dude, and
we
just, Taylor Swift's great. You don't have to deny
it. Dude, I don't
Pandora.
Deny it.
Yeah, just
I was
say
known
you have
for
the
like,
CD.
For like 3 years, I was... Who buys CDs?
Album. You have it on iTunes or whatever.
No, I really don't. It was Pandora.
Okay.
It was like a Today's Country Pandora or whatever. And it comes on and... I don't know. The music just kind of took control of my body, and I couldn't control it anymore. And I started. So she's in her rock and play. You know what that is?
Yeah.
You know what the motor, like vibrates.
Yeah.
And I started, you know, shucking and jiving.
Uh-huh. Oh God, that's awful.
And she starts smiling.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, she's smiling. This is great. So I danced for like 5 minutes, and I was doing all these crazy moves.
It was your workout, man.
Yeah. And she's just like smiling. The smile keeps getting bigger and bigger. So now, like, every night we'll play like a different song and I dance for her and she continues to smile.
Hey,
it's
man,
great.
Whatever can make your kids happy, you do it, man.
That is she thinks that I'm an idiot already.
Yeah.
This is great.
The only thing that would make it better is video of him dancing.
Actually, I believe my wife may or may not have a piece of video stashed somewhere.
I envision it a lot like Elaine dancing on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I think that's your move.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot like that, actually. It's very accurate.
Do you do the thumb dance?
Yeah.
Your thumbs out?
I do the lawnmower a lot. That's my go-to.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. That would just off the top of my head, because last night I was doing this and my sister-in-law just happened to walk in. We were dancing to Little Ferrell, Happy. Little Pharrell Williams happy last night.
Dancing makes you feel good. That's why they do it on the Ellen show every day. They dance, you know, get you feeling good.
There's yours. You watch Ellen.
My wife watches Ellen, and sometimes I'm in the same room.
Ellen's great, man. I don't care what anyone says.
Ellen, I don't think it's really possible, frankly. You may not like it, but to if you watch an episode of Ellen, to not feel a little happier. I mean, it's a happy show.
I like Ellen.
So
I don't really care for the show. I don't really ever watch. I don't know if I've ever seen an episode of her talk show.
But she puts you in a good mood.
But I like her.
What do you got, Gray? Be honest with us.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't mine, but I do dance as well to my kids, and Owen likes to shake his booty. He goes, I shake my booty.
Owen
I shake
says
my
it.
Booty. Yeah, and he just sits there and shakes his booty. It's cute.
God, I can't wait till she can talk. That'll be awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Well, depends.
Yeah.
So, no, Taylor Swift is one of his favorites as well. But one thing that I need to be honest about is I love a good chick flick. I do. I like chick flicks. Good romantic comedy, I enjoy. Notebook, love The Notebook.
Notebook's great.
Love Actually, big fan of it.
Do you cry ever?
No. I never cry in movies. Don't cry.
The two that you've named are very good chick flicks, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Little Sweet Home Alabama.
It would depend. See, I think all three of us probably have this in common. Like, and I would say... My taste in music leans a little bit that way as well. I was never like a heavy guy. I liked Metallica a little bit, but you know, never into the gangster rap or whatever. I'd rather listen to Michael Bublé than N.W.A.
Oh yeah. My God, that's terrible.
Well, it is what it is. But the movies, I think about like you know, How to Leave a Guy in 10 Days. That's a chick flick.
It's a great movie.
Love it.
That's not a bad movie.
Love it.
That's a great movie.
Those movies are good. There's a new one coming out with Amy Schumer called Trainwreck. Are you familiar familiar with Amy Schumer?
I know Amy Schumer. I don't know the
comedian. She's pretty dirty, but
what do you mean dirty?
Like talks a lot about sex.
Oh, okay.
And it's just way out there, but in an honest way.
Okay.
And she's a little chubby, so she plays off of that. You know, like I do what I can with this body, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But cute.
Yeah.
Like I would describe her as cute. So Trainwreck. She's like a commitment. Got commitment phobia issues, etc. And then Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live, who I think is a really good actor, and he's funny. They're in it, and they start dating or whatever. Anyway, it's called Trainwreck, and his best friend, Bill Hader's best friend in the movie, is LeBron James. So LeBron's in it. It looks really funny, and it's coming out pretty soon. But I would describe it maybe as a chick flick.
It sounds like more like a rom-com, which rom-com, I mean, same thing.
Rom-com, chick flick.
What does that mean? What's a
romantic comedy?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that...
Remember, I don't watch movies very often.
Apparently not.
So like a serendipity. Like
I love that.
Never seen that one.
He's mentioned all these movies that I love. Dude.
Yeah, his great movies.
Never seen that one.
Jeremy Piven, who plays John Cusack's best friend in that, has voiceovers during that movie, or at least at the end. And it's just so serendipity. Can I give you the plot real quick to get you interested, Chris? Because this is a great movie.
I guess.
So John Cusack.
We're losing listeners by the second.
We're not, because people out there love this movie too. John Cusack is getting married to Bridget Moynihan, Tom Brady's ex-wife, in real life.
He's not married to her anymore. Oh, he's married to Gazelle.
Yeah. So they're going to get married, and then John Cusack has this chance run-in with Kate Beckinsale. Beautiful actress, by the way.
She's gorgeous.
And they have a great night together. They don't sleep together in the movie. It's just they connect. And then she says, he's like, well, how can you just let the night end? You know, this is great. Can I get your number, et cetera? So she basically, if I'm going off of memory, I think she writes her name and number in a book.
Yep.
Right. And she says, tomorrow, this is New York City. Tomorrow, I'm going to go sell this to a used bookstore. And if you happen to find it, then you'll know it was meant to be. And we can connect. And there's probably a million bookstores in New York City.
Yeah.
So this is like the needle in the haystack. So the rest of the movie, he's deciding, should he marry this girl? Can he find the book, etc.? And it's a great setup for a movie, and it's really, really good. And I think my wife hates it because she doesn't like the sappy stuff.
Oh, really?
I don't think I would like that movie.
Yeah,
I think you would. I think you would.
I mean, let's just go through this list here.
No, come on.
Come on. What do you mean?
All right, fine.
I've played your dumb games before.
What dumb games?
What's up, Grumpy?
It's always Charter's dumb games.
What's up, Grumpy?
Come on. How much time are we going to spend talking about chick flicks?
Go take a nap. This is what we do here, man.
First off, who doesn't love the movie Mean Girls? If you don't love the movie,
I like
get the F out of here.
I went to that in the theater. Hot date back in the day.
It's,
trying to get lucky.
Have you seen Easy A with Emma Stone?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great movie.
My wife does love that one, but she has a mad Emma Stone crush going on.
Julie. Is that the one where everybody thinks she's a whore?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that one, too.
Yeah. She's just witty.
She is.
Yeah.
It's Julie, my wife's favorite actress, is Emma Stone.
Yep.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Seen it.
Great movie.
Sweet Home Alabama's good.
They put the lucky one here with Zac Efron. That's a garbage chick flick. Okay, that's terrible.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Is that the one with the girl from Orange Is the New Black?
I don't know.
Okay. I can't place that one.
I just remember thinking it was bad. The Holiday. Have you seen The Holiday?
No.
Jude Law, Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Kate Winslet. Great.
Yeah. They switch houses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great movie.
It is a good movie.
No. Nope.
Chris is just giving looks here.
I just, you know, I feel like there's certain segments where you hit a wall and then it's past the point of no return.
Like
I feel
when like you and Ross talk about hockey.
We've had one hockey guest on in.
That's called a wall.
In 3 months.
That's a radio wall.
You brought on a professional wrestler and did a WWE segment.
Yeah, he's the world champion.
And we can't talk about chick flicks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You got to realize, Adam, this is what you should understand. A lot of times when we bring certain guests on, it's because we're being paid to do this.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What? Say it ain't so.
If someone is paying to listen to a WWE wrestler talk.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
I mean, Iowa Event Center and stuff like that. They're promoting events.
I'm going to say two more movies and we'll be done.
Yeah.
Two
more.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Love it.
That's good. That's a
also
romantic comedy, though. I mean, that's...
It's fantastic.
Emma's in that one, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is kind of... I like it. And maybe this is actually just a big chick flick and I probably shouldn't like it. He's Just Not That Into You. I enjoyed that movie.
I've never seen that one,
and it was not great, in my opinion.
But like Sleepless in Seattle. Who doesn't like Sleepless in Seattle?
That one was good.
All right, Mark, what do you do?
I don't know what to be honest about, because I'm honest about everything on this show. I feel like people probably know more about me than they do you two clowns. So I don't know. What should I be honest about? Anything you guys want to know? I will admit that I'm extremely claustrophobic.
Actually, nah, we don't care about that. Why don't you admit right here, right now, that you can't run, could not have run a 40 in 4.4?
Yeah.
We want to hear that, that you could not have ran a 4.4.40.
Yeah, that you lied.
Officially, I don't know that I've ever run a timed 40, so I'll admit that part of it. But you can extrapolate speed, okay? So let's go here. Do you think that, because you started comparing me to guys at Iowa State who did this, did that, etc. So if you're one of the faster guys in the state of Iowa, just there, okay? If you're one of the faster guys in the state of Iowa, would you think that guy might be able to run a 4.4.40?
No.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
You think it's that fast? What would one of the faster guys in the state run a 40 in?
Probably 4.5.
So we're not talking about a lot of difference in time.
But 4.5 to 4.4 will move you up a round or two in the draft.
Yeah. All I can say is at a time in my life, I was very fast.
Well, we can do this. Were you faster than Jack Whitfer? Would you beat him in a race?
Well, you'd call Jack and get some high school times from him.
That's, I would guess Jack was like a 4.6, 4.7.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He was a fairly fast guy, right?
I mean, Adam Carper, my buddy, was one of the top athletes in the state. He ran a 4.6.
Yeah.
I remember.
And that's fast for, because he was 6'3", 230.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
all I can tell you is, so I ran college, which really didn't mean much because Northwestern College. So I ran track and aimed high. So that's the highest level in the state.
Debate. Johnson's the highest level, but keep going.
I anchored.
Other than the 2A powers in Southwest Iowa, beat Johnson.
At state, I anchored our 4x1. I anchored our 4x4. In my senior year, I got second in the 400-meter hurdles, okay, out of everybody in the state. Okay. So that probably should say that I was good.
I believe that you were good.
I believe that you were good. I don't believe you were elite.
I don't know how you gauge elite. So they don't run the 40-yard dash at the state meet. So I don't know.
The best high school athlete I've ever seen was Adam Aluska.
I was just gonna say Adam Aluska. He was a freak.
I disagree with
that.
Have
I told you guys? I think I've told that story.
Dude, he was 6'5", and he could fly.
Have I told you the story about when I got? I've told the story somewhere. It may have been on KXNO.
Yeah.
Where in high school track, I was a sophomore. We're at the district meet, and our top 100-meter dash guy goes down with an injury. Who, he's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So, Aluska's in lane 4, right? Our guy was in lane 3 or 5, one of the two. And at that point, coach, it's a throwaway. You know, because we don't have anybody else who can score at that spot and qualify for state. So, he puts in the top JV runner.
Yeah.
You're looking at him.
Oh, God.
I'm lined up next to Adam Aluska.
He's towering over you with just muscles everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blew your doors off.
Oh, my God. It was so embarrassing. Like, I actually had this 100-meter dash, too, so, like, there's no faking it. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a mile where people just... I mean, it was embarrassing.
Dude, and I'm not arguing Aluska. It depends on the term athlete, because he played basketball, obviously, and was very good.
Could have played
you
football.
You ever seen him long jump?
The most dominant high schooler, though, in our era was Tim DeWight, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Tim DeWight.
He was amazing.
Won the 200-meter dash at state all 4 years.
No argument there.
200 meters as a freshman to win is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
His splits in the 400 his last year were in the 46s.
Yeah.
That guy, that was a freak.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no argument for me there.
Yeah.
No. Tim DeWight.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. So he had elite speed. Hopefully you'll agree to that one.
Absolutely.
Tim DeWight
was a freak.
It reminds me, one of the funnier things I saw in a track meet, by the way, we had a guy on our team named Andre Brown. Andre was a sprinter, real quick, and I believe it was his first meet, okay? And the first year out of track, first meet, and he ran the 60-yard dash up at, like, Co-College or something. This was indoor track. And he was fast enough where he won it very easily, but what he did was something I'd never seen done, and I guess for some reason he thought he should do this. So picture the 60-meter or 60-yard dash, whichever one it was. That's your straight shot down the home stretch, obviously. He gets off to a lead. He's like in lane 4 or 3 or whatever. And for whatever reason, he's so far ahead, he cuts over like you would on like the second leg of a, you know, a race where like the, you know, the 800 meter where you can cut in.
So he got disqualified, didn't
where there's the cone and then the guy waves.
So he cut. So instead of going straight down lane four, by the end of the race, he was in lane one and still won and was far enough ahead of the other two guys in his way that he didn't even bother them.
Yeah.
And yes, he got disqualified. You can't do that.
No.
But that's like, called cheating.
We're like, Andre, what are you doing? You don't cut on a 60. he didn't know.
No.
Learning lesson.
One of the better athletes in Iowa history too. Iowa State's basketball coach, Fred Hoiberg, would be up there.
Did Freddie run track? I'm sure he did.
Fred was out for track, and he high jumped, I believe. Fred did everything, though.
Yeah,
he was the quarterback. I mean,
that's one problem I have with what I see up here. I think there's too much pressure on these kids to specialize.
Yeah,
there's no question
in sports. Because back home, it's like, everybody's got to do everything.
Yeah.
We don't have enough people. And I just think the chances of anybody in Iowa, like if you pool together every high school kid in our state, the chances of your kid being a Division I athlete and actually getting college paid for slim.
Not good.
Very slim.
You could go to JUCO and get your college paid for. You could go D2. I mean,
dude, I've already got my son's life planned for him.
D2, you don't get full scholarships.
So. Well, or whatever. NAIA.
If Seton gets a little bit of height.
Or that.
He's already throwing the ball left-handed, dude.
Oh.
I'm gonna gear him towards being a middle relief left-handed pitcher.
So you're just going to lock him out of every other sport and play baseball?
Son, we're just going to teach you how to 12? Pitch. We're gonna give you a devastating slider and teach you to pitch one inning.
12 months out of the year.
And you're going to go be a seventh inning relief guy in the major leagues and play for 20
years. Try to get him to be a starter and make that $16 to $20 million contract.
I don't know,
He's a lefty.
Or be a closer. You could be a left-handed closer.
Yeah.
Make bank.
I know these one people who, friends of ours actually, who, like, their daughter, like, I think she's good at this sport.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't think she's great.
Yeah.
I think she's good. And she doesn't even want to go to these practices because it's, like, it's 12 months out of the freaking year.
Yeah.
These sixth graders aren't.
Yeah.
It's you're wronging your kid to make them at that age.
Some kids love it. They do, but other kids don't. You know, at the same time, when you get to like a Johnston, they just put this on Cyclone Fanatic, the size for 9, 10, 11-year-old or 11th grade, Johnston's got over 1,500 kids. If you want to be a basketball player at Johnston, you almost have to specialize.
That's why my kid will never go to a school that big.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying.
That's a big deal to me.
Yeah, when you're up here in the Des Moines area and you see it and why are these kids specializing, that's one of the reasons.
It's not fair to the kids.
My mentality changed, though, when I had a kid. So growing up, I loved sports. That's all I did. I mean, I remember vividly going out by myself in my driveway and having a tennis ball and just pitching to the garage door because I wanted to and I loved it.
Yeah.
My dad never said, you got to go practice or go practice. Yeah. I looked forward to it.
Kid make its own decision.
And same with football, same with track. I mean, I was motivated to do it, so I did it. So I thought, like, okay, when I have my son, you know, I'm going to direct him here and tell him to go there and whatever. And what happened was the complete opposite of that. I decided, you know, honestly, if he likes these things, I want him to try them.
Yeah.
So he's going to start T-ball and do the soccer thing or whatever. But if he says, Dad, I really don't like it, as long as he didn't quit like mid-season, I'm not going to make him go back. Because as a parent, as corny as it sounds, I honestly would rather have my son be really, really nice to everybody and have a lot of friends and learn to play golf than specialize in football. Because is he going to go to the NFL?
No.
Probably not. But he could play golf
the rest of his life.
If you're at the 4.440.
His dad has 4.4 speed, so he's got a shot, actually.
You know what we should do after one of these podcasts? And no, it won't be a 4.4. You two clowns.
No,
and
you will smoke me.
I should go out in the parking lot.
Let's just
run a 40 and
so
see what happens.
I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Remember I talked about how fat I was getting?
Mm-hmm.
So last week, I actually, this plug for a sponsor, but it's the truth. I went to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, Doc Nicholson here.
Yeah.
In Ankeny. I had to get a checkup on like some meds or whatever. And I've gained like almost 15 pounds.
Yeah.
I knew I had gained a lot, but I gained almost 15 pounds. So I had a come to Jesus moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bought a bunch of like protein and all my good stuff. Going back to CrossFit.
Did Swole Netton's video, did that motivate you?
I haven't seen that. I've heard about it.
Okay.
But so give me a month. Can you give me a month?
Yeah.
And then I'll race you. You'll beat me, but I'll do it for the fun of the podcast.
I'll record it.
I'd race a 40.
I think all three of us need to run.
No, I'm
did you guys? Did you guys? Everybody thinks they look a certain way. Like if you go back, did you guys happen to see that picture I posted the other day on Facebook of me doing a beer bong?
Yeah, I did see it. The only beer bong you've ever done in your life.
Yeah, dude, I looked like a monster in that picture. I don't even remember lifting weights back then, but yeah, like compared to now,
yeah.
Give me the good old days. No, that was my one and only beer bong I've ever done.
No, when I turn 30, I'm gonna have my birthday. I want you to do a beer bong. Number two, I want to.
We need to get going on that birthday party thing.
Yeah, I've actually had a couple people reach out to me that they'd like to help out, be a part of that.
Good.
Not the birthday fundraiser.
We had one person say don't mix it, meaning don't make it a Fanatic / Fawcast thing. Make it one of the two, which I don't care.
What does that mean?
Like,
don't put my
No. Just like have a Fawcast thing for the Fawcast listeners that love it. For the Fawkers out there, if they want to come down and have beers or whatever, that's fine. His point was have that, and if you want a separate Cyclone Fanatic fundraiser, have a separate one. He's like, don't combine them, and maybe I don't know, less intimate. He didn't give a reason for that.
Huh.
We already have enough like Cyclone Fanatic. How many events can we have?
100. I don't know.
The point of the marketing aspect of it, if you have 15 events, then they're not special.
Yeah.
If we have a recruiting party, we have our basketball party, we have our football tip-off, kickoff party. I feel like if we have like 6 during the year, then it's like people will go, well, I can always go to the next one.
Go to the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
By the way, a guy, I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter, but he forecasted because he wanted to, or he went on Twitter and sent us a direct message at the forecast Twitter. I feel like I'm going to sneeze here.
Whoa. Jeez.
I'm trying to block the mic. Oh, there you go. Live. We're live here. But he said, because we were talking about this last week about people getting remarried. Mm-hmm. I told him I'd mention this, not by name, but he said that he was his buddy's best man twice within 3 years at his wedding. He just wanted us to know that. I thought that was kind of humorous because we're talking about if you get remarried, you do the wedding again and all that stuff. That would be an awkward call. So, buddy, getting married again. Want to be my best man again? Sure, I'll sign your wedding stuff.
I still have the speech saved. You don't mind if I just use the same speech, do you?
I'll recycle the speech.
I'll just edit out the name here for Under the Bride. And
scratch your name. That's perfect.
Hey, I actually have a game this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Adam Gray steps up to the plate.
So instead of being...
Do you need to go take a pee first? Or
no, I'm all right.
All right.
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks for asking, though, Chris. Yeah.
Just concerned.
Instead of being a dirty game like Mark likes to play, we're actually going to go a sports game and an Iowa State sports game here. So these actually are questions. Remember when we did the bowl trip a couple years back?
Mm-hmm.
I reached out to Bloom. I said, Bloom, trying to think of fun ideas to do on the bus, like questions and Q&A trivia, and then do giveaways to make like an 8-hour bus trip not feel so long.
Man, our bus just drank the whole time. I had the Wallabies crew.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a crazy time on the way there. The way back sucked. It was the worst drive.
I was working the whole time, so I couldn't drink, but I'm glad that you had a good time drinking.
Yep.
It was fun.
I have 5 questions. These are from Bloom for football and 5 basketball questions, Iowa State related. You guys ready for this?
Sure.
All right. We'll see who wins. All right. We'll start with football first.
Chris is going to win.
If it's anything like pre-2000, I won't know much.
Well, and this is actually good for the Fawkers, too. They can sit and play along and try to see.
Because once I got to Iowa State, my knowledge is really solid. Before that, I'm very, very
sketchy.
Mediocre.
You were sketchy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there are many before 2000, so you should be good.
Okay.
All right. Iowa State won its first bowl game in the 2000 Insight.com Bowl against Pitt, where Paul Rhodes was the defensive coordinator for Pitt. Who was the offensive MVP in that game, and who was the defensive MVP?
J.J. Moses.
For offense?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's your defensive guess?
Carson's?
Okay, what do you got for guesses? Sorry.
I don't know. That's a little before.
2000?
2000.
What? Somebody returned a punt in that game. I don't think it was JJ,
It'd be Jermaine Billups.
Jermaine Billups did, yep. Yeah.
Did the punt?
He did the punt, yep.
Defense was Adam Runk.
Nope. So neither of you are correct. And you're going to get in trouble from one of your regular guests on the KXNO show, Sports Fanatics, as Sage Rosenfels.
Sage. I knew it was one of the two. I thought Sage seemed too obvious, though.
Nope, Sage was. And on defense, one of the best defensive players in Iowa State history, Reggie Hayward.
Hayward.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Was Carstens even on that team? Or was he later?
I think he was 2005.
Yeah, he was later. That was terrible.
We're off to a good start.
Yeah.
All right. Who was – so Paul Rhodes has actually won since this came up. He won there 2 years ago. So before Paul Rhodes 2 years ago, who was the coach of Kansas the last time Iowa State won in Lawrence?
Man.
So it's not Mangino because this wasn't 2 years ago.
The coach before Mangino?
Yeah, when Iowa State won last. I know. It makes it tough, the fact that these questions were in 2012.
Yeah.
Where did he go? The coach of before.
This coach, I'll give you a hint, coached at UNI before that.
Oh, Terry Allen.
Yeah. Terry Allen. Correct.
The hint. Yep.
Nice.
Thanks for the hint.
Yeah. We'll go to basketball here. We'll go back and forth a little bit. All right. Name the starting five of the Iowa State team that won an NCAA tournament game in 2005. Bonus points if you can tell me what team they beat.
Okay. They beat Minnesota.
They did beat Minnesota.
It was Jared Holman.
Yes.
Jackson Vroman.
No.
Vroman wasn't on that team?
Nope.
Okay. Stinson and Blaylock.
Yes.
Rashawn Clark.
Yes. And who's the fourth?
Where was Pratt? Is this well after him?
Pratt was, 2000?
Wow.
I think Tashiq Carr came off the bench.
Yes, he did.
He's like Rain Man over here.
Damian Staple?
Damian Staple. What country is Damian Staple from?
Jamaica.
Jamaica me crazy.
Dude, I do not even remember that name.
Anything like 2003 I don't think you can stop me. Anything before that, I'm...
Yeah, Staple. I don't even remember
What's
that
the bonus
name.
Point? Who do I get a bonus point for?
For Minnesota.
Oh, okay,
you
Minnesota.
You got that right.
And they lost to North Carolina.
They lost to North Carolina. Who's on that North Carolina team?
Michael Jordan.
They had Sean May. They had Marvin Williams coming off the bench. Yeah. He was like a second or third pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Raymond Felton, I want to say, was
Felton
on that team.
Felton was on that team, yeah.
They had some good players. Wayne Ellington, maybe. All right, question number two, basketball again. Who did Iowa State defeat in the first three rounds of the 2000 NCAA tournament?
Auburn?
Auburn was the second round, yep.
Okay.
Back when it was actually called the second round.
Yeah. Auburn. Some nobody in the first round.
Yes.
Was it
2000?
Come on, who'd they beat?
Cincinnati? No, they beat them in that preseason tournament.
They lost to Cincinnati.
Yeah, out in Alaska, right?
Yep.
UCLA?
UCLA, they beat in the Sweet 16 to go to the Elite Eight.
I don't remember the first round.
Central Connecticut State.
Okay, yeah.
That's why you don't remember that. Yeah.
Central Connecticut State. All right. Let's see here. We'll go back to football. Who were the two Cyclones that scored defensive touchdowns in the 2005 Colorado Tornado game?
Brent Curvey.
Yes.
And...
2005.
Again, one of my favorite games I've been to.
LaMarcus Hicks?
No.
That long ago?
Steve Paris.
Steve Greedy Paris. Yep. Yes.
I remember the Curvey one very well.
I do too. I agree with you, Adam. That might be my favorite other than Oklahoma State, my favorite home game in Iowa State that I've ever
seen. So that was the day the tornado came through right before the game.
And the game got delayed like, 45 minutes?
I know somebody's house that got trashed by that.
Oh, really?
In Ames. Yeah.
Everybody evacuated to Hilton. Not me. The band was playing.
Yeah. The woman that took our wedding pictures, whose name is Jackie, she had a home studio, and her home got hit by the tornado. Didn't get destroyed, but it like twisted it on the foundation.
Oh, really?
So they had to basically totally redo it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun. We saw everyone going into hill, and we just kept tailgating. We figured. Yeah.
Could you see a tornado from where you were? Or
no, you could see the sky. Yeah, you looked at the radar, and you could tell it was not far.
Yeah.
It wasn't far.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I had pre-gamed at my apartment, and... I don't. This is how my mind works. It's screwed up, but I remember things based off of sporting events, and I remember the Bowden Bowl going on that day. I watched the Bowden Bowl.
Terry,
I got
Bobby.
Like a mini like pony keg, and a bunch of us watched the Bowden Bowl, and then we went down to tailgate, and the tornado came.
What was in that pony keg? Bush Light.
I believe so. Yes,
yeah, that's good stuff.
Milk. All right, this is a good one, and I think one of you guys will get this. Who was the last Cyclone to run for more than 175 yards? And this is almost 3 years ago, and I still don't think anyone's ran for 175. So this record.
The last one?
Last Cyclone to run for more than 175
yards. So it's obviously not Troy Davis.
Alexander Robinson?
Because that would be too easy.
Neither of those are correct.
Okay. J.J. Bass?
Not J.J. Bass. Jamaica. He only played like... five games.
I'm just thinking of random.
175.
When I tell you this one...
Do we get a hint?
No, don't give me a hint.
No.
I want to. So ask the question again, like the timeline. Okay.
Hiawatha, Rutland.
There's no timeline. That's a good guess, but no. Who was the last Cyclone to run for more than 175 yards?
Stevie never did. Did he?
Stevie Hicks?
I don't think so. If he did.
I don't think that he did.
This guy ran it.
Mike Stevie. Wagner.
After Stevie?
Well, he was on Stevie's team.
Oh, Ryan Cook.
Ryan Cook, yeah.
Did it against Missouri, right?
Ryan Cook?
That was McCartney's last game.
He just ran wild.
And it's still questionable if Iowa State actually won that game.
No, it's not questionable. There's a W on the...
It's
a win. Bloom puts this in here, too. Just for fun, Troy Davis once ran for 175 yards in one quarter against Missouri in 1996. One quarter. And Iowa State hasn't had...
And Iowa State sucked.
Yeah, but their line was pretty good.
Yeah, dude,
you knew where it was going.
Weren't they
winless that year?
No, 96. No, they won like two games or something.
One of his years they were winless, weren't they? Maybe, one of Troy Davis's years?
Maybe Walden's year where he's a freshman.
I don't know.
He didn't really play much. All right, let's see here. Let's switch back to basketball. Fred Hoiberg's first win at Iowa State was against who?
That was against Northern Arizona.
Northern Arizona. Who was Hoiberg's first loss against?
You and I.
Jesus, Williams.
It's my job.
Look at this guy.
I always thought you were a hack that really didn't know what you were talking about.
He should be lighting this up. He's right, man. His bread and butter is the Cyclones.
Why don't you let Charter try to answer one?
I wouldn't have either one of those. Next time you bring a sheet of paper to ask me questions, let's ask about some rom-coms, okay?
Okay, let's do that.
I'm going to tear that up, dude. You're going to be like, what's the name of the best friend? I'm going to be like, yeah, I know that. Totally.
Dude, I'll never forget that you and I lost. That was a deflating loss.
Yeah, how did we choke that one away?
Oh, that was the one where Laurent Dindy
shot the jumper from the corner.
Yeah.
No, that was McDermott. Did Dindy play for Hoiberg?
Laurent Dindy.
That was against you and I. Yeah. But playing for McDermott. Yeah. Yeah. The
Laurent Dindy.
God, I just remember like the backlash from that one.
Oh.
Because Fred's first team won in Cedar Falls.
No, that was his first loss. His first loss.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm sorry. Fred's first game in Cedar Falls the next year they won.
Yeah.
I believe.
I don't know, man.
Now I'm just meshing everything together.
Mm-hmm. All I know is that Iowa State has never played very good against you and I in the last 15 years.
Now they junk it up. They slow it down. They do all that stuff that Iowa State hates.
Well, Wells Fargo 2 years ago, they were down 19, came back and won that game in overtime.
Lucky to win that one.
Yeah, they were.
So it's funny how things stick. Like, these things are sticking with you, like certain events. I used to... if I challenge myself, I will be able to do this next week, but I need practice. I used to be able to name every World Series winner from 1985 to today in order. And I haven't done it in a while, so I won't be able to. But
Braves in 95 is really all you need to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one and only.
Yeah.
So, there's some patterns to it, like the Giants, you know, every other year now, the last 6 years. But next week, I'll do it. All of them in order. No peeking.
Could you do all 50 state capitals?
If you gave me an hour to refresh my memory, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
I could.
Cheating. I bet I would get, like, right now.
Yeah, right now. If we did
I bet
it on
I'd
air.
Get 45 of them.
Wow.
So about 3 years ago, I did it while drinking. It was kind of a drinking game. I got 49 out of 50. If I were to do it right now, I bet I'd get 35.
South Dakota. I'm thinking of some that have weird ones.
Yeah, jeez.
Bismarck?
No.
South Dakota. We had to throw out that one.
Well, yeah. What am I at? It only touches our state, you know, so it's, you know, out of
Sioux Falls.
It's not Sioux Falls.
No, it is freaking.
I'm telling you, I'm terrible at
it. I went there with a chick.
I'm going off of memory, though. Is it Pierre? It's something.
It might be.
It's something very similar to that.
Yeah.
Vermont. Do you know Vermont?
No.
Montpelier?
Maybe I'm not doing it.
I think it might be Montpelier.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vermont.
Maybe I'm not going to do it.
Some of them are easy, but some aren't. Like, you think of places like, you know, Georgia. You think Atlanta right away. It's not.
These are good bar games. And, like, Bloom and I do this when we get done golfing a lot, where it'll be like, all right, name the 91 Braves starting lineup,
mm-hmm.
or like the 96 Cardinals, or like we just did, like the 2005 Iowa State basketball roster, stuff like that. And it's amazing how much great conversation comes from it.
Oh, yeah.
You know who'd be good at this is your radio partner, Ross, because we were talking about the old iCubs games that I grew up going to.
Yeah.
And he did too. And we would have been like 9, 10 years old. He was naming the starting lineup from the Iowa Cubs when he would have been like 9 years old. I'm like, what? Really? I remember like two names that he mentioned, and he knew the whole starting lineup.
Wow.
Like, that is absolutely ridiculous. So
I couldn't name more than two players on their team right now.
Yeah. All right. Give me one more, Gray, if you got one.
Oh, I got a couple more.
See if you can.
Ooh, this is a fun one.
See if I can answer one.
And Gene Chizik won three games against BCS schools while at Iowa State. Name them.
Kansas State.
Jeez, he's supposed to answer. Oh. Just chill.
Yeah,
man.
I honestly...
Kansas State is one of them.
I would guess Kansas, but I don't, probably not.
Nope. Mangino was there then.
Did he beat Iowa?
Okay. He did beat Iowa.
Okay.
That was the field goal game.
Yep.
Shaggy.
Kansas State, Iowa, and some other dog.
I want to say it was a rogue game.
You'd be wrong.
Okay.
He
lost to Kent State then.
Yeah, he did. He lost
to Toledo.
Yep.
So a home game, BCS. It wouldn't have been Big 12.
Lost to you and I.
The third one is the one that, because I knew Iowa and I knew Kansas State.
Who was Kansas State's coach then?
That was Ron Prince.
Ron Prince. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Big 12 football. This ain't intermediate.
Colorado.
Yep.
Colorado.
Danny Hawkins.
Yeah.
Dan Hawkins.
I forgot they were in the Big 12. They were terrible there.
Because remember, didn't they kick a field goal to tie it up, but something happened to the clock, and they basically said the field goal didn't count, and Iowa State won?
Yeah, it was something screwy like that.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that game they lost at Colorado under Chiz.
When we ran the option.
Jesus. Yes. My God.
Well, when Hawkins' son came in and just killed us, and we were winning by, like, what, three touchdowns?
Jesus. And then the Kansas State game that year where Arnaud set the Iowa State passing record, and the defense gave up like 800 yards. And then the freaking Toledo game where Iowa State invented a new way to lose.
Yeah,
up like 12 with like 2 minutes to go or whatever.
We're good at that, man.
Jesus. Or block punt or whatever it was.
We're good at that.
What about the UNLV game? UNLV game was a phenomenal loss.
When Leonard had lost his shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just cussed.
A phenomenal game.
Oh, Chris can't be on KXNO now because he cusses on a podcast. He can't.
I don't have a track record of it.
Dude, we've got a warning now before, so it's okay. He can swear.
Yeah.
Butter said so.
All right. That's it for football.
Yeah, we do. We do have the parental advisory.
We do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have two more basketball questions. Okay. This one is a long one.
Can I answer it?
Because this is before your time.
Oh, okay. I probably won't know it then. Okay.
No, you will. Jamal Tinsley lost a total of 11 games at Iowa State in 2 years. Name them. This is a Bloom question, if there is a Bloom question.
I can't do this.
You couldn't? See, no. I think I could.
All 11?
I know the 2000. I know the losses.
Hampton.
Hampton is the last one, yeah.
Yeah.
Who did they lose in the Big 12 tournament that year? Come on, you
Baylor.
Guys. Baylor, yep. How about the year with Pfizer? How about that? That's easier. The year with Pfizer, his junior year, named the five losses that year. This should be easy. You already named one today.
Michigan State,
they lost, yes.
There's one.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's two. With Kenyon Martin. The worst loss. What? This is the worst loss.
Kansas.
They did not lose to Kansas.
Oklahoma State.
Did not lose to Oklahoma
Missouri.
State. Nope.
Huh.
Remember the non-conference, the team that they lost to? They no business losing to in that year? Come on,
Nebraska.
Guys.
Morningside.
They lose in Nebraska.
They lost to Drake that year.
Oh, yeah.
They lost
Didn't they lose
Drake
their exhibition
terrible.
One of those years or like the Estacia year? They lost an exhibition to Morningside.
They
I remember
might
that.
Have, yeah.
I remember
That's
that.
Nuts.
Yeah. They also lost to
freaking Drake, yeah.
They lost to Eduardo Najera in Oklahoma, and they lost to Colorado, and I believe Jacque Walls had to hit like a half quarter to send it overtime. Yeah. So those are the five losses. For people listening, in 2001, they lost to Iowa, Oklahoma State, Missouri, Texas, Baylor, and Hampton. So
Hampton and Drake stand out on those lists pretty easily.
Here's how this question is. It is a blast to make fun of Iowa. Iowa State's last NCAA tournament win was what year? This is obviously before this year. So before this year, when was the last time Iowa won a basketball game?
It was not under Alford.
It had to have been like...
Was it?
Yes.
Alford got one?
Yes, he did. He got one.
Did he?
Yeah.
So the year before Northwestern State?
No, it was way before Northwestern State. It was like 4 years before that.
Hmm.
So they went 4 years in between without making it...
Without winning one. They might have gone. I don't remember.
I have no idea.
They beat Creighton in 2001.
Oh, okay. Creighton. I do remember that.
Yep.
So. Yeah. Are you guys going to watch the Derby this weekend?
Yeah,
yeah, I'll watch it.
Mark, I was going to see, why don't you just come over to my house early and we'll go over to Prairie Meadows and put some money down.
It's funny you were saying that, because I was just going to ask, because I'm golfing Saturday morning, and after golf, I think I'm going to head over there.
Just come on over. We'll have some beers.
And do a wager. So if you want to head over there with and
why don't you just come to my house and we'll ride together.
We can do that. What
it's a zoo.
Do you know who you're picking?
No, I haven't done any research.
There's not yet a clear favorite. Last year, I'd never been more sure of anything ever than California Chrome was going to win that. It was just a clear favorite and won easily. This year, I'm a little
yeah,
torn.
I have no idea.
You know who I want to listen to, though? Because the horse guy is Ken Miller. I want to hear what his pick is.
Thanks.
He's good, dude.
He is good. He
can't
does.
Can't wait to listen to 1700.
I didn't say I want to listen to their whole show. No need to shed tears.
I like Ken. Yeah, he does know a lot about horses.
I want to listen to his horse pick. He knows what he's doing.
Matter of fact, I'll probably text him when I'm at Prairie Meadows and say, hey, who should I bet on?
Who do I pick?
I guarantee I do that every year with him.
Yeah.
I sent him my picks last year, and he approved. I didn't win anything.
I'm not smart enough to know.
We were there last year. That was Bloom's bachelor party. That's
there,
right.
There's a right way and a wrong way to bet on a horse, because you can just bet on the horse to win, but you can also bet, like, you know, two horses, and if one of them wins, you win. I'm not up to speed.
Yeah,
that's
how you make money, though.
Well, the money is like trifecta.
Yeah.
That's 1, 2, 3 in order, which, you know.
I have a crazy story on a trifecta.
Honestly, I'll just call Jason Luch.
I already asked him. He hasn't done research yet either.
But that's a guy who, our boss.
Will he go out there and throw something down?
He'll be in Kentucky tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. His horse is racing tomorrow.
He knows as much about horse racing as anybody I've ever met. Ken knows a lot about the gambling aspect of it. Jason knows the business.
Well, feel free to please share this these tips once you get them.
Honestly,
there's a fee.
Just plan on that. I think it's a blast to go out there every year.
Yeah.
I try to get out there every year.
That was fun last year. That was a good time.
Yeah. I know you, and I know me, so the chances are I'll sweeten the pot that my wager might be a little bit larger than yours. But I'll give you 10%. I'll give you 10% of it if you give me the right horse.
I'll bet like $10.
I'll give you 10% if you give me the right horse.
That's a deal.
Will you bet $10, Trevor? Is that where you'll come in at?
I'll do probably $10 times 100. That's probably what I'll do.
So. All right, we need to wrap her up, boys. We're at it in an hour.
I'm excited for our little boxing party that Gray's not coming to either.
I'm too.
Who's excited for that fight? Honestly, who's excited?
Any sports fan.
It's a pillow fight. Those guys, if they punch you in the face, you wouldn't even feel it.
By the way, have you seen the commercials?
They're like $120.
Have you seen the commercials with Pacquiao?
No.
I think it's Reebok or something.
I hope Pacquiao just kicks the crap out of
him. He's funny. He's funny in the commercials.
Floyd Mayweather is just a scumbag.
I don't like going into the fight knowing that there's a 99% chance there won't be a knockout. That's disappointing.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And no one cares about boxing. I mean, everyone's making a big deal out of fight of the century. No one cares about boxing.
Clearly,
no
somebody cares. It's going to be the biggest payday in the sport.
That's what I don't get.
A phenomenal job.
I agree with you that boxing, as far as the ranking of sports, is way down.
The 10th favorite.
But how are these guys making like $180 million or whatever?
Somebody cares.
Their promoters are phenomenal. I will give them credit there. The promoters do it.
Yeah, it's all promotion. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but I do think a lot of people want to see Mayweather get knocked out.
Which
won't happen.
No, it would be nice.
Gray, we'll tweet you photos of Mark doing beer bongs from my backyard.
That'd be nice.
I don't think there'll be any beer bonging, but
what
time is your party starting at your place?
Whenever.
What time are you telling people to come over?
Whenever. The party's always open at my place.
Okay, well, here's the thing.
I'm gonna go watch the Derby at Prairie Meadows, and then I'm gonna head back to my house, and I'll probably go down to the basement and start having Busch Lights.
What time is the race? The Kentucky Derby?
Like three, usually.
So you'll be home at like 5.
I'm not gonna stay there after the race.
Maybe I'll come over to your place, have a beer or two at around 5 o'clock, because my party doesn't start till 6:30. Is that all right?
Can you show up to your party late?
No, because I got to go to another party after that.
Dude, he is so popular.
I wish I had as many
friends as Adam, dude.
He is really popular.
Mark, we'll have a fun Saturday together.
It's gonna be good. I'm gonna golf. I'm gonna go bet on the Kentucky Derby. I'm gonna go watch a boxing match.
Are you golfing with Olson?
No, golfing with a couple buddies over at Beaver.
Oh, nice.
I think.
That's right by my place. Thanks for the offer.
I name dropped Chris Williams at TCI the other day, and they're like, who? So we got to get you out there a little
Seriously?
Bit no.
I was going to say.
No, I'm just joking.
Did you really name drop me?
No.
Okay, you should.
I already had gift cards, so I didn't need
to. Help my cause.
I didn't need to.
All right.
Next time.
Thanks for listening, everybody. MarkCharter.com. Thanks to Adam Gray for trivia.
Thanks to Mark for selling my house.
Thanks to Mark for selling Adam's house and Rob Gray's.
Yeah.
He's on fire.
I am on fire.
Later.